From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, What We Must Learn from How God Blessed Abraham. The text is found in chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. In these verses, the Apostle Paul uses Abraham to illustrate how God justifies sinners. The passage quotes from Genesis 15, verse 6, where Moses wrote, Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Paul goes on to say that these words were not written for Abraham's sake alone, but also for all who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. At the heart of these words lies the truth of the reliability of God's Word. God has given us the Bible so that we would walk by faith, just as Abraham did. Furthermore, the Bible sets forth the reasons for Christ's death and resurrection. He died to atone for our sins, and His rising from the dead was God the Father's verification that Christ was indeed who He said He was. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Philippians 4, verse 12. I know how to abound. There are many who know how to be abased, who have not learned how to abound. When they are set upon the top of a pinnacle, their heads grow dizzy, and they are ready to fall. The Christian far oftener disgraces his profession in prosperity than in adversity. It is a dangerous thing to be prosperous. The crucible of adversity is a less severe trial to the Christian than the fining pot of prosperity. Oh, what leanness of soul and neglect of spiritual things have been brought on through the very mercies and bounties of God! Yet this is not a matter of necessity, for the Apostle tells us that he knew how to abound. When he had much, he knew how to use it. Abundant grace enabled him to bear abundant prosperity. When he had a full sail, he was loaded with much ballast, and so floated safely. It needs more than human skill to carry the brimming cup of mortal joy with a steady hand. Yet Paul had learned that skill, for he declares, In all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. It is a divine lesson to know how to be full. For the Israelites were full once, but while the flesh was yet in their mouth, the wrath of God came upon them. Many have asked for mercies that they might satisfy their own heart's lust. Fullness of bread is often made fullness of blood, and that has brought on wantonness of spirit. When we have much of God's providential mercies, it often happens that we have but little of God's grace, and little gratitude for the bounties we have received. We are full, and we forget God. Satisfied with earth, we are content to do without heaven. Rest assured, it is harder to know how to be full than it is to know how to be hungry. So desperate is the tendency of human nature to pride and forgetfulness of God. Take care that you ask in your prayers that God would teach you how to be full. Let not the gifts thy love bestows estrange our hearts from thee.
Oh,
have a desire to study the Bible, but you're really not sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Through life, walking with purpose and resolution. How do you go through life without staggering in unbelief? You do it by means of Scripture. Paul wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 16, and he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Isn't it tragic how little we as God's people know of God's word? Isn't it tragic how little we think of God's Word? The excuse is, I'm not a preacher, so what? It's true of preachers too. We live in a day when most preachers are ignorant of God's Word. But so what if you're not a preacher? I don't read here. It was written for preachers. This book is not a textbook for sermons. At least certainly not only that. This book was written because God had you in mind. Doesn't that start every day rather differently? Doesn't that give us a new outlook on each day? God has a word for me. God wrote this book with me in mind. God made statements to Abraham, not just for Abraham's sake, but because of me. Here's the reason for the record. Then he goes on to give us the reason for the death of Christ. And he says, he was delivered because of our offenses. What does that mean? It means he died because our sins were imputed to him. It's not just that he died for us. That's a wonderful truth. But he died because of our offenses. He died because of our sins. Now, what's the relationship between our sins and the Lord Jesus Christ? Peter says he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Paul says to the Corinthians, God made him to be sin for us. God imputed our sins to Christ. This is one of the great mysteries of the covenant of grace, that in appointing Christ to be the saving head of a redeemed people, God took all the guilt, all the sin, all the wickedness, all the vileness of those people, and he made Christ accountable for it. Now, the Lord Jesus was not personally guilty of sin. The Lord Jesus did not become morally corrupted, morally transformed in an evil way because our sin was imputed to him. But he took all the liability of that sin. He made himself personally responsible for that sin. And God, in making him to be sin for us, it's as if he took all the sins of all his people from all ages and he put them in one mighty heap in the soul of Jesus Christ. And he dealt with Christ almost, we could say, as our sin personified. He imputed our sin to Christ. And that explains some passages of Scripture, for example, the 40th Psalm, which is undoubtedly a messianic psalm, and yet some of the statements in it seem so far removed from the Lord Jesus, where he is confessing sin. But he has no sin. Ah, but here's the thing. He has. He has. Not his, but mine. Why did he die? Because God imputed our sin to him. Why did he die? Because he made an atonement for our sins. He died because of them. But he didn't die a helpless victim. He didn't die a defeated victim. He died, and it was an act of saving obedience on his part. He died, but in dying, he slew death. In dying, he bore away our sin and our guilt, because he is the Lamb of God that beareth away the sin of the world. Bless God, here's the reason for the death of Jesus Christ. Here Paul pulls back the curtain and he says, God imputed our sin to Christ. He accepted the burden. He accepted the legal responsibility. He took upon Him all the sins of all His people. You think of that. God has saved. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You've got a list there of every kind of vile and filthy, wicked sinner you could possibly think of. God has saved liars, thieves, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, idolaters. He saved sinners of every kind. When the Lord Jesus took the cup of the wrath of God, God said, put that in the cup. And put that in the cup. And put that in the cup. Take all our sin. And Jesus took that cup. He took it willingly. And in the words that are certainly not mine, but they express it beautifully, the words of an old-time hymn, with one almighty draught, He drank damnation dry. Why did He die? Because of our sins. Why did He rise? The reason for the resurrection. He rose again. He was raised. Because of our justification. That's another one of those apparently simple statements. I must say that I like the way John Brown of Edinburgh dealt with that text. Great Scottish commentator and theologian. John Brown believed that this is what would be called an elliptical statement. Now, don't get worried about the big word. It simply means that there are some necessary ideas that are left unspoken, but that must be supplied to get the full force of the antithesis here. He was delivered because of our offenses. He was raised again because of our justification. Let me put it this way, paraphrasing John Brown. He was delivered on account of our offenses, which were the ground of God's action in condemning us. He was raised again on account of His own righteousness, which is the ground of God's action in justifying us. As Brown says it, He was raised on account of that which justifies us. That which is our justification, the only ground of our justification, the substantial righteousness of Jesus Christ, on account of which we are treated as righteous. He was raised because of the obedience to death of Jesus our Lord. I think that goes to the heart of it, you know. Why did God raise Him from the dead? Because He deserved it. He merited it. Death couldn't hold its prey. It was impossible that He should see corruption. Why? Because He was the Holy One of God. He couldn't see corruption. He deserved to be raised from the dead. He merited that resurrection. He was raised again because of the righteousness which justifies us. The usual way of dealing with the text, and perhaps the most straightforward, is to say He died in order that our sins may be expiated, or purged and put away. He rose again that we might be justified. In other words, the resurrection proved that His death had been accepted. How do I know that my sins are put away? How do I know that Jesus Christ died an atoning death? How do I know that God accepted what He did as a sacrifice for our sins? How do I know that? Well, Paul said it. Well, I'm glad Paul said it. Paul believed it. Well, I'm glad Paul believed it. But all the apostles went around preaching it. Well, I'm glad they did. But so what? Let me tell you, on the third day, God raised Christ from the dead. And that's it. How do I know that he is who he said he was? Because God raised him from the dead. How do I know his blood is atoning blood? Because God raised him from the dead. How do I know that he suffered and bled and died vicariously and victoriously? How do I know that there's acceptance with God through the merits of his blood? Because he rose the third day from the dead. As I said a few weeks ago, Muhammad's tomb is occupied. Buddha's tomb is occupied. Confucius' tomb is occupied. Why follow a loser? Christ is risen. That's it. It proves that his death has been accepted. As Paul said, if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. But also that resurrection inaugurated, it was the very first step in his glorification that gave him entrance to heaven as our high priest to sit at the right hand of God, thereby securing for all his people the application of all his merits to us. The Bible speaks, you'll find this in various places. I've already quoted one from Acts 26. There's another one in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible speaks of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. But what was the first step in that glory? Mark 16, verse 19 tells us. So then, the then refers to post-resurrection. He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Risen from the dead, he ascended to the right hand of God. Ephesians 4 says, he ascended up on high and he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men. At the first chapter of Ephesians, we've got one of the most wonderful passages in the New Testament. And Paul is having his great prayer for the Ephesian Christians, praying things that they might know, things that they might be able to grasp. And he wants them to grasp what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Where he's far above all principality and power and every name that is named. Why did he do this? He gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. God raised him. God exalted him. God set him at his own right hand. For the church.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.